Okay, David, I think we're ready. Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back. Everybody had a good Pesach. Tazria Mitzora. So I want to do one or two things on the Parsha, and then I want to touch on something. We're not going to be here next week, so I want to do something on Yom Ha'atzmaut, a little bit of a reference. So we won't be able to do everything on the sheet. Let's do the first piece is the Shem Yishmul, a Hasidic insight on the Parsha. Barashi, V'cheinu B'vayikra Rabba, Rashi brings a medrash. Amarav Simloi, Kishem Shi Yitzirato Shel Adam Achar Kol Behema Chayev Of. The same way that man was created after the creation of the animal kingdom, B'maisa Bereshit, Kach Torato Mitpareshet Achar Torat Behema Chaya Va'of. Therefore, the Torah of man, at least the Torah of his purity and impurity, which is in Tazria Mitzora, is mentioned after last week's Parsha Shmini, which discusses the pure and impure animals and birds. Right? And he says, Ha'u Dichtiv, that's what the Pasuk says, Zot Torat HaBehema, Va'achar Kach Isha Ki Tazria. So now we delve into the area of spiritual spiritual impurity of man and woman. First the animal, then man. But the question is, that order, if man is the superior creation, so V'yesh L'Havini writes, we have to understand how Rekol HaParshiot Shel Torah Ad Heina, all the Parshiot of the Torah until now, Hein Torat HaAdam. It's talking about man. Everything in the Torah deals with the Kedushat HaAdam, the holiness of man, how we live our lives. In other words, the Torah is man-centered as well as God-centered. Of course, it's God-centered, but it's man-centered. The Torah is designed for man to become a more fulfilled human being with Torah, with spirituality. So, and that's been the emphasis until now. So how come we revert back to Maisa Bereshis? And we also have to understand in Maisa Bereshis how it worked exactly, right? He says, even Uparshat Korbanot, Lechaper al Adam, the Korbanot in Vayikra, are about animals, but really it's for our kapor, it's for our atonement. Hakol hu Torat Adam, everything is Torat Adam. So how come we now go back to the animal and then to the human being? So what's this all about? So he says like this, V'yesh lefaresh, second paragraph, al pi divrei ha-medrash rabba. The medrash quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, achor v'kedem tzartani. Man was created achor, at the end, v'kedem, and at the beginning, I created him, tzartani. Acharon l'maisa bereshit, v'kodem l'maisa bereshit. At the end of the creation of the world, and the beginning of the creation of the world. What does that mean? Shahanefesh nivreit biyom harishon, v'haguf biyom ha'achron. Man was created, as we know, on the sixth day. That was the creation of man, of Adam and Chava. But the soul of man, the neshama of man, was brought into the world on the first day of creation. And that, what he's referring to is, it says, v'ruach elokim mirachefet al pnei ha'tahom, when the ruach, the spirit of God, was hovering, that is a reference to the neshama. The neshama of man was created at the beginning of creation. And the physicality of man, the goof, was created at the end. And at that point, God blew into man's nostrils the neshama. He brought together the spirituality and the physicality. But the spiritual part of man was created at the beginning of creation. So what's that all about? O b'yom ha'shishi atzmo ha'nefesh kodemet lebehema. So v'chaya v'haguf achron. So the spirituality of man came first, the physicality came last. What's that about? So the rabbis in the Medrash say, im zacha, if man merits, meaning in parentheses, ha'inu sh'haguf na'aseh tafel l'nefesh, ve'eno cholek reshut la'atzmo, if man allows his spirituality to take charge and not become subordinate to his physicality, omrim lo ataki damta lechol masa bereshit. So we tell him, you really preceded all of creation, right? You lived up to the fact that your soul came first. V'im lav, but if not, hare hanefesh naasit tafela guf, if man lives his life allowing his spirituality to be subordinate to his physicality and lives just purely a physical existence without any spiritual life, omrim lo, we say to him, that's why you were created achor. You were created last, even after the animals. Yitush kidmech, shilshul kidmech. Even a fly, even a mosquito, preceded you in creation. So that's why these two parts of man were created in a homiletic setting, right? Ad kan das ha-medrash, that's the medrash. But he wants to take this a step further. Ulefize nitparesh ha-memra ha-nal. So now we can explain this to Kimodi yitzirat ha-nefesh al-adam kodem l'kol. Just as the neshama of a person was before everything. Kein torat ha-nefesh mitparesh et kodem. So therefore the Torah of man, the spirituality was brought into play in the Torah first. V'chol ha-Torah v'ha-parshiot she'adkan, all the parshas of the Torah until now, heim li'asheret ha-nefesh ha-sichlit, were to better and improve on our spirituality. V'korbanot heim kapor el-nefesh, and the korbanot also, even though they're about animals, but they're about our improvement of our spirituality. Aval. However, now here, Rashi is describing a different sequence defined by a more physical focus on life. That's what we're going to see now. If man does not live up to his potential, right? He's reminded that he was created last. Aval yitzirat haguf, the creation of the body, hu achron, lomaisa bereshit. It was the last thing created before Shabbos. Torato nami mitpareshet achar torat habehema. And the Torah of man's purity came after the animal. Hainu torat haguf, the Torah of the body, the physicality. Shebeparshiot shemikan ve'elech. Mitzavim, the Tazriya Mitzora, there are parshiot. Shetuma v'tahara hein mityachsot leguf ha'adam. Tuma and tahara, what we call impurity and purity, relate to man's body. V'chein mila, which is at the beginning of the parsha, right? Mityacheset leguf adam, that relates to man's physicality. Af shehi shleimut ha-nefesh, even though mila is the fulfillment of our spirituality, mikol makom hi tikkun haguf. It is a repair of the body. It's the ultimate physical creation, the end of the creation of man, as the rabbis say. Ma mila shehi echad meramach evarav shel adam. It's one of the 248 limbs of man. Umachma tikkun haguf, through the fixing, the completion of the body, nimshechet shlemut ha-nefesh, the fulfillment of the soul comes about. Ukemo tumah v'tahara, the same thing with purity and impurity. Af shenogeh bevaday gam l'nefesh, even though of course it relates to spirituality. Mikol makom mityaches rak l'guf al yidei taharat haguf. It's about becoming impure, touching something that makes man physically impure. So now he wants to understand something. Why were these two things created separately? Eventually, the spirit, the neshama, was put into the body. So why were they created separately? Why didn't God create them at the beginning? So we have a nice homily, so we're told, if you succeed and allow your spirituality to be dominant, that you're told you were created first. If you didn't and you allowed your physicality, then you're told you're created last. That's a very nice sermon. But lemaisa, why weren't they created together? V'yirali, I want to suggest, liten tam, to give a reason, al shtei yitzirot ha-nefesh v'aguf bizmanim mitchalfin. I want to explain why they were created at separate times. Shiyadua, it is known, she'ein kol itot ha-adam shavot. Life is complicated. Life is complicated. Not all days are good. Not every day is a good day. Sometimes a person has a bad hair day, right, as they say. Not every day are we get up and we want to daven and we want to do all the right things spiritually. Some days we're a little down. Some days our physicality gets the better of us, right? In fact, I must share with you that the Mesilat Yesharim, the Ramchal, Lutzato, which is probably the most famous Musar Sefer, was written by Lutzato That was a great, he was a Rav, an Italian Rav in the Middle Ages. The Vilna Gaon says that that's the Sefer was written with Ruach HaKodesh. He suffered greatly, Luzzatto. They thought he was an apikoros. He was a heretic. He was run out of town. It took a number of years before his greatness was really discovered by the world. But Luzzatto writes there, and every word, as I say, the Vilna Gaon says is Ruach HaKodesh. He writes in the first chapter that nobody is perfectly happy in this world. Now, I think that's a wonderful lesson for all of us in human nature and in mental hygiene. If we have that one of those days where we're a little down, we have to realize that that's part of humanity. That's part of our persona, our nature. But we have to get out of it, right? Well, you think that Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu didn't have bad days? Right? Can we relate? How do we relate to Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu? We certainly can't relate to their high moments, but we can certainly relate to those moments. You know, when Avram would come back to the tent, and Sarah would come there, and they'd say, you know, well, we didn't influence anybody today. It wasn't a good day, right? That we could relate to, perhaps, right? So he says, not every day is equal, right? You have good days, you have bad days, right? Palm, sometimes, sichlo bahir. Sometimes our head is clear, our mind, our heart, our neshama is expansive. Umishtokek lavodat Hashem yitborach, and we are in touch with our better selves, with our intellect and our emotions, right? Lavodat Hashem yitborach, to do the right things, to do his avodah. Upam lehefech, and sometimes we're not so in touch. Haynu shepam gover bo koach hanefesh, upam koach haguf. In other words, sometimes the spiritual power, the neshama, is in charge, and sometimes the body is in charge. Vizehu, so it's a brutally honest statement the Torah is making, that God is making for us. And therefore, he creates these two elements of man separately. Vizehu apirish, and that's what it means, achor v'kedem tzartani. That's the verse that David HaMelech said in Psalms, and tell him the basis for this entire thought, this entire medrash. Achor v'kedem tzartani, I created you last, backwards. I created you tzartani, kedem, frontwards. Shehabihirut haseichel, the clarity of our hearts and our mind. Those, the clear days. Vahishtokekut lavodat Hashem, and our attachment to serving God. Nikret b'shem kedem, that's kedem. We're up front. We're number one. We're first, right? Ulehefech, and the opposite, nikra b'shem achor. When we allow the physicality to take over, we're achor. Shehu b'vchinat achorayim. We're in last place, right? Hepuch apanim. It's the backside of us. It's not the front side of us, right? V'imhaita yitzira achat l'shtei, and if they were created at the same time, he says there would be too much tension. Hayabisha shehu bechinat achor kilkul hayitzira v'hayekashem od litchazek az v'laya kolkach benakel lashuv levchinat kedem rak al yidei tshuva letakena kilkul. If the nefesh and the goof were created at the same time, there would be tremendous tension between the two, and many times the body is very strong and powerful, and the body would have the upper hand on our nefesh. So in order to give the nefesh time to prepare itself and to grow, it was created first, to give it its own independent nature. So it became, it's a kind of a very esoteric concept, but we can understand it. You know, so it was given time to nurture for the first days of creation to have its own independence. And then the physicality was created. So the spiritual nature of man could fend for itself, right? And that's why man was created in two parts. At the beginning, Valkein afshu b'vchinat achor hunami yitzira. The physicality is clearly a creation of God. V'yachol yitchazek atzmo kemoshu benakel lo lashuv l'vchinat kedem. So we can overcome the and master the physical and synthesize the two with our spirituality being on top. Okay, nice Hasidic thought. I'm going to leave the other Shei Mishmul. Let's go over the page. This is from the Limurei Nissan, Rav Nissen Alpert. And this is a gem of a thought on tzaras, right? It's very hard to find pieces to talk about with tsaras, with leprosy, right? Now, we know, we've mentioned this in past years, everybody knows this is not the physical leprosy which is called Hansen's disease. This is a spiritual, it is physical, there were blotches on the skin, various kinds, and that had to be taken to the Kohen, and the Kohen would determine whether it was really tsaras, and there was a period of purification, of tahara, that the person had to go through, or the house, or the clothing. Three kinds of leprosy, right? On the leprosy on houses, a leprosy, a plague on your house, a plague on your clothing, on one's clothing, and a plague on one's body, right? And the leprosy came, the rabbis in the Talmud tell us, come for one of seven different kinds of aveirot, of missteps. The most famous being Lashon Hara, gossip. But it's not only Lashon Hara, there are six others. You have Shvichas Dami, murder, is also brings about leprosy. Meanness, Tsar Ayin, someone who is a very mean character. Also, Shvuat Sheker, making a false oath. Gezel, robbery. Gaiva, arrogance. Arrogance, the root of all, right? The one, that quality, when one sees an arrogance in a person, we're turned off, right? Or at least we should be turned off. Humility is what we strive for. Moshe Rabbeinu was anav mikol adam, and the opposite, the dark side of the photo negative is gaiva, geyut, arrogance. So, and we are not privileged to have this happen to us, right? And it can only happen in Eretz Yisrael. But let's see what Rav Nissen Alpert does with this, something very special. Adam ki yeba, this is quoting the pasuk, Adam ki yeba or b'saro se'eto sapachat, if a man has on the flesh of his body, se'eto sapachat o baheret, these are the different kinds of adhesions on the skin of leprosy, v'haya ba'or b'saro l'neged tzarat, v'huva el ha-kohen, el Aaron ha-kohen, he is brought to Aaron ha-kohen, or any kohen, right? But he's brought to the kohen, he's brought to Aaron ha-kohen for an examination, right? Now, understand that in Hebrew, there are four terms for man, right? You're familiar with them. Adam, Ish, Gever, Enosh. These are four terms for man. Now, in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, there's no such thing as a synonym. Every word has a unique meaning to itself, even though there are four names for man, but each one of them represents something else. Now, we're not going to go into all of them, but I do want to mention, and this is important, he's going to quote the Emek Davar now, the Netziv, that Adam is the name of man for on his most noble level. When we say Adam, we say he's an Adam. You know, he's a noble human being. That's the word Adam. Adam relates to our nobility, that we carry a neshama, that we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the word Adam. It's Adam, the highest form of man, woman, right? So there's a question here. Why is the person with leprosy called Adam? That's his question that he starts off with, right? Ubehemik davar, that's the Netziv. That's Rav Chaim Volozhin. And that Roshei Tevot, that short form is Behemik davar. The Netziv, Rav Chaim Volozhin, was the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin Yeshiva. And he wrote a sefer on Chumash, the Behemik davar. And Hevi b'shem Azor HaKadosh. And he brings from the Kabbalists. The Adam mashma'o chashuv. Adam is the highest name for man, right? Puts in brackets, Atem kruim Adam, ve'en akum kruim Adam. You, the Jewish people, are called Adam. Nations of the world are not referred to as Adam. V'yesh li t'moa. So one has to wonder. Ha-tzarat, tzarat, leprosy, bo al-chet Lashon Hara, comes for the sin of Lashon Hara. V'kvar amru chazal, and the rabbis have already told us, Nemar chamisha pa'amim Torah gabi tzarat. The Torah uses the word Torah five times in presenting leprosy, What's that all about? La metra, to tell us, shekol ha-mesaper loshen hora. Whoever speaks loshen hora, ki ilu over al chamisha chumshei Torah. It's as if he's transgressing the entire Torah. Now, this in itself is complicated for us in the world we live in, right? The world we live in, you know, lives around the water cooler, right? The good, juicy piece of information, right? We live in a world that values this kind of nonsense, but to us it is a very serious infraction, right? So, v'harbe he'erichu b'gnut loshen hora. The rabbi is going to great depth to talk about the evils of Loshon Hora. V'yeter ha'averot shebo aleim tzarat. And the other six averas, like murder and mean-spiritedness, that bring about tzarat. Kegon tzarat ayin, that's the mean-spiritedness. V'od, and others. V'lama mitzayeret ha'torah din tzarat ba'adam chashuv. Why does the Torah speak about the guy who has leprosy as Adam? The most noble person, right? So he has another question now. Through this other question, we're gonna come to an answer eventually. V'hine, something else very interesting. B'torah shebal peh, he'erichu leva'er hasibot. In the oral Torah, in the Talmud, there's everything I have told you now about the different kinds of tzarat, what brings it about, it's not in the Torah. Nothing in the Torah. It's only in our oral tradition, in the oral Torah. Tzarat be'or adam, negay batim, negay begadim. The rabbis in the Talmud teach us what brings about tzarat on the skin, tzarat in the house, tzarat on the clothing. Aval b'torah shebichtav, in the written Torah, ein mize klum, nothing, ki imrak remez. There's only a hint. The word mitzora is motzi ra. If you take the word mitzora, it's motzi ra. It's speaking evil. Motzi mi peh. You're bringing out something that's evil. That's only a hint. That's all you have in the Torah is a hint, right? That's not the focus. The main focus of tzarat is not the cause of the sin. Or it's also tzarat is also means tzarot ayin. Stinginess, meanness, tzarot ayin. Again, a hint. V'halohi karhu, the whole essence of Torah Shebichtav, of the written Torah, is la'amod al shorish hachet shemevi lidei tzarat ulipirush miloshen hora lifrosh miloshen hora mimrechilu mitzarat ayin ukedoma lezeh v'hayu l'Torah Shebichtav la'arich begin. The whole thing about loshen hora is the causes, right? Cause and effect. So really, the Torah should have discussed this, right? But it doesn't. U'beparsha tazriya mitzora, but in these two long parshas, I'm just, you know, giving you a warning, right? When you go to shul this Shabbos, it's a long leini. It's tazriya mitzora, and it's Shabbos mevorchim. So the kiddush is going to be a little later this week, right? But the pella is, he says, the wonder is that u'beparashat tazriya mitzora, lo ne'amar afilu halo ta'aseh shaloshen hora. You don't even have the negative commandment, don't speak loshen hora, ki im b'parshat kedoshim. It's only in parshat kedoshim that we have, right, katuv lo te'lech rachil ba'amecha. Lo te'lech rachil ba'amecha, do not go as a talebearer amongst your people. That is the negative commandment, one of the 613 mitzvahs, the prohibition of speaking loshen hora. You don't even have that in Tazriya Mitzvah. So why is that? Why we're only concerned with healing the person? That's the focus is the victim, the person who got himself into this mess, coming to be healed of tzorat. That is the focus of the parsha, not the source at all. But the focus of Torah Shebichtav, the central focus of tzoras, is coming and being healed. Now that's a hint to what he's gonna bring out here, why it's Adam, why we refer to him as Adam, a nobleman. V'hanira b'zeh. So let me begin, he says. Shegadlut ha'adam, the greatness of man. How do you define if a man is a great person or not, a great man or a great woman? Eino nimdad b'zeh, it's not measured. Im yesh lo negayim, o ein lo negayim. Oh, he's got leprosy. he's a low person, or this guy doesn't have leprosy, he's a great person, right? Oim lomed musar, o eno lomed musar. Or this guy learns a lot. He learns a lot of Torah. He learns a lot of ethics. Or he's a great man. Or this guy, he doesn't learn at all, right? He's not a great man. No, no, no. You know how greatness is defined in a person? Ele imose tachbulot lihita'er minigav. Greatness is defined in a man if a person has deficiencies and he does something in order to better himself, to improve himself, to correct himself. That is the definition of a great man. A man who has all kinds of deficiencies, even sarat, but he does something about it. He confronts his deficiencies, he confronts his failures, and he tries to improve himself. That is greatness. That is greatness. You know, ulefamim, there's a P.S. There's a pasuk that says ish lefi mehalalo. Man is defined by what he praises, by his praise, mehalalo. So the normal understanding of that verse is ish lefi mehalalo. A man is defined by what people say about him. That's how most people understand that pasuk. Ish lefi mehalalo. According to his praise. What people say about him. Comes along the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah was a Rishon, an early rabbi, and he says that's not what it means. Ish lefi mehalalo. The definition of a person is what does he praise? Ish lefi mehalalo. A man is defined by what is important to him. So Rav Huttner always used to give the example, and he writes the example in one of his forum. You have two people, an Amoritz, a totally unlettered person, and a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, sitting in a Beis Medrash. And in walks another Talmud, a rabbi. So the Talmud Chacham, he doesn't stand up. The scholar who's sitting in the Beis Medrash, he doesn't stand up for the other rabbi. But the simple Jew who's sitting there saying Tehillim, and not doesn't know Torah, he stands up. Who's the bigger person, says Rav Huttner? The bigger person is the simple Jew. Because ish lefi mehalalo, you define a person by what he gives cover to, what he praises. This man praises Torah. The other guy, he's praising himself and his own self-accomplishments, right? So here too, how do we define a man? A man is defined by confronting his inconsistencies and doing something about it. Ulefami. Sometimes a person can learn a lot of Torah, but do nothing about his persona, his character. He is the kind of person that's called shechochmato, the rabbis in the Medrash call chochmato kodemet lemaisa. His wisdom is superior to his actions. So what do we say about such a person? If his wisdom is more than his mitzvahs, she'ein chochmato mitkayemet. Even his wisdom eventually will not be maintained. So next paragraph. Adam. What's an Adam? A noble man. Adam chashuv hu. A chashuv a person. Ki yeh be'or b'saro. When he has something on his skin. Se'et o sapachet o baheret. One of these adhesions. V'haya be'or b'saro l'neged sarat. And he has perhaps sarat. Huva el Aron HaKohen. He is brought to Aron HaKohen. Or to one of the other Kohanim. He's searching. He goes to the doctor. He goes to the spiritual doctor. He's searching, why is this happening to me? I want to get better. He forces himself to come to the Kohen. Whose task it is. He is our spiritual doctor, the Kohen. Midvarim hamizuamim. Shemazhamim et rucho v'nishmato utmei moto. He is the person who can heal us from anything that can contaminate us, from the negative forces, spiritual forces in the world. L'rofei ruchani, the spiritual doctor. Umagale et nagav. And he will tell him, you know why this is happening to you. You know, you were talking too much Lashon Hara. That's what's going on. You got to correct yourself. You know, I know, he says, I know it comes from this. That's why I'm here. I need your help. What do I do? V'zeu Adam chashuv. That is Adam. That's why the guy who's stricken with leprosy in the Torah is called Adam. Because the focus here is the person who is stricken and how to get out of it. V'zeo ha'ikar, and that's the essence. V'idich zil gemor b'Torah Shebal Peh. The rest, you want to learn the rest, go to Torah Shebal Peh, go to the Gemara. But the essence here is that the person has to want to be healed. That's what the Torah is focusing on. V'imitchila kashelo lavo, the next paragraph. And if at the beginning it's hard for him to come, bo ki'ilu bal korcho, it's almost as if he's being forced to come. V'huva, he is brought, al yedei acherim, his friends bring him. Aval lebesof, but in the end, yavo ba'atzmo, he comes by himself, on his own volition. Ki benafshohu, and that's Omer HaKetiv, the pasuk says, O ki yashuv ha-basar ha-chai v'ne'epach le-lavan u-ba. The Torah says he comes. He comes ba'atzmo. He comes on his own. El ha-kohen to the kohen. Az kvar yivada lo sibat ha-nega. And then the reason of the nega is revealed to him. V'ha-gnut v'ha-churban shaloshen hor-gorem. And he discovers what it was, what his inconsistency was, and he deals with it. And then he writes, he adds something. It's all about dibur. The essence is about our speech. That's the main, the most dramatic cause of Lashon Hara is the speech of Lashon Hara. How is he healed? How does the Kohen heal him? Ukadivri ha-magid midubno. The magid midubno says, ki ha-mesaper Lashon Hara, the person who speaks Lashon Hara, any odeo godel hara shehu mevi lamata v'lkitra lamala. He has no idea the damage he is causing in this world and in the world above. V'kame gadol koach hadibur lahaziku lechavel. You know, the Chofetz Chaim used to always say, Lashon Hara is like a feather pillow. You know, you tear open a feather pillow, and, you know, you want to correct the Lashon Hara, the feathers go in all directions, go catch all the feathers. You know, that's what we cause. You know, we can't catch all the feathers. One has to be very careful. Ma asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does God do? Hu ma'anisho b'negayim. He punishes him with physical negayim. Va'osa oto mitzor, makes him into a leper. Va'ha negayim ki yadua mitamot rak al pi dibur. And we know that the tumah came through dibur, through speech. How does it get? He becomes officially a tamei through the kohen. Hainu im yomer kohen tahor yiyet tahor v'im yomer tamei yiyet tamei. The kohen paskins. If he says tamei, the kohen says tamei, impure, the person is officially a leper. If he says tahor, he's tahor. So it all, the purification, the end result, right, and the new beginning result comes through dibur, the dibur of the kohen. It's not that he touches him. Of course he has to go through all kinds of purification, but it's the dibur of the kohen which is the dramatic moment of his tumah or tahara. L'lameid adam da, to teach a person, koach u'gvurato shel haloshon, the power of speech. Ki achayim v'hamavet biyad haloshon, life and death is in the tongue, is in speech. U'lechein mefaresh ve'omer ha-katuv, and therefore the Torah goes on, zot tihyeh Torah ha-mitzorah. This is the Torah of the mitzorah. Biyom taharato, on the day of his purification, v'huva al ha-kohen, he's brought to the kohen. U'mizeh yada v'yivchon, and from this he'll understand godel kocho shel hadibur. He begins to understand now the power, the awesome responsibility of speech. V'lo yikahel od al piv lehotzi dibur shel halshana misfatav. And he will be so careful not to allow evil speech to come out of his mouth. Then he has a kind of a P.S. here, interesting P.S. You know, at the end of Shemona Esrei, we say a tefillah, right? Elokai Neshama. We say Elokai Neshama. There were various versions in the Talmud of Elokai Neshama, how to end the Shemona Esrei. So listen to what he says here. Ubigamora Brachot Yud Zayin, in the Talmud in Brachot, Nemru Harbe Dvorim, there are many suggestions, Shahayu Chazal Omrim, which the rabbis said, Bigmart B'tfilatam, at the end of their davening. V'ita, one says, Mar Bere de Ravina, a certain rabbi, Ki Havim Messiah Tzelusei, he used to say, and this will sound familiar to you, he used to finish the Shemona Esrei, and he would say, Amar Hachi, Elokai Netzor Lishoni Meira, my God, guard my tongue from evil, Usvatai Midaber Mirma, and my lips from speaking guile. Ulimekale nafshi, and those who curse my soul, tidom, let them be silenced. V'nafshi ka'afar l'kol tiyan, let my soul be like dust, not to ignore what people say. Patach libi v'toratecha, open my heart to Torah, right? Etc., etc. We all say this. And then at the end, yiyu l'ratzon imrifi, may the words of my mouth be acceptable to you. V'hegyon libi l'fanecha, and the thoughts of my heart should be before you. Tzuri v'goali, my rock and my redeemer. U'betfilot shel shar amorayim, that's our tefillah, by the way. So he says it's kind of two parts, right? First about the dibur, and then at the end, God, please let my heart, my thoughts and my heart be with me. He's going to unite these two. He says, U'betfilot shel shar amorayim. The other rabbis in the Talmud, lo huzkar hasiyum shel yu l'ratzon. We use the yu l'ratzon of this rabbi, of Mar Bar Ravina, right? V'halo davarhu. He says, there's something to point out here. V'raiti b'sefer echad, and I saw in a certain sefer, she'tfilat elokai netzor, this tefillah, elokai, God, protect my tongue, my mouth from speaking guile, she'amar Mar Bar Ravina, hu bi'ur, it is an explanation, al yiyu l'ratzon imrefi, of the last line. It is an interpretation of the last line. In other words, she'ematai yiyu l'ratzon imrefi, when will the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, O God? We end off the Shemona Esrei. Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable to you, O my God. This is the conclusion of the Shemona Esrei. When is that? Im yinatzor l'shono meira, if we protect our tongues, our mouths from speaking evil. V'sfatai midaber mirman, my lips from speaking guile. Ulimekalai nafshi tidom, and if I am quiet, those who curse me. V'nafshi ke'afar l'kol tiyeh, and I am like dust, and I ignore it, right? Then I have a right to say, petach libi b'toratecha. Then I write yu l'ratzon. Beautiful interpretation, right? We say it every day, right? So worthwhile to see this. Okay. I want to do something that's not on the sheet. I said I wanted to mention something about Yom Ha'atzmaut. We're not going to be here next week. And it actually fits in a little bit to the last item here. In the tefillah, tzuri v'goali, tzuri, we refer to God as my rock in this, right? So what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? So you know there was a big machlokas on May 13th, 1948, when the Declaration of Independence was being written, whether to put the name of God in. Some of you are familiar with this, some of you are not, but here's the story. The secularists did not want the name of God in the Declaration of Independence, because God has nothing to do with this, right? God has nothing to do with this, right? Of course, the religious leaders were fighting that we should have the name of God. So they made a pshara. They made a compromise. They put in Sur Yisrael, the Rock of Israel. Now, for the secularists, the Rock of Israel, that refers to the people, right? But to us, we know that Sur Yisrael, here's a perfect example. We end the Shemona Esrei every day with Tzuri v'Goali, right? So they were satisfied with Tzuri Yisrael because it related to the Ribbono Shel, right? Now, in fact, the word Sur, what does the word Sur mean? How do we know it refers to Hashem? So you have in Parshat Hazinu, you have eight times the word Sur is mentioned. Now, some of them are Chol. They're not all Kodesh, but Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, in his Pirush, his commentary in Hazinu, explains that referring to God as Tzur has two connotations. Number one, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an unwavering rock in his commitment. Hashem is committed to Am Yisrael to ensure that we'll always survive. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, like a rock. Secondly, just like a rock doesn't change, Hashem doesn't change, right? And our relationship with him is the same. Now, what's strange is that there's a Gemara in Brachas where the Gemara in Brachas deviates from this textual understanding and has a different interpretation for Sur. And I'll just read for you a few lines of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Bo rei shelo kemidat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat baser v'dam. The ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not like the ways of mankind. Midat baser v'dam, how does a human artist work? Tsar. Now that's the question. That here the rabbis in the Talmud are using the word tsar as an artist. That God is an artist. Right? It's a totally different interpretation. Tsar Tsurish al Gabi Kotel, an artist draws something on a wall, right? Ve'enu yachol lahatil bo ruach u'neshama. He can't put in a neshama into what his artistry makes, right? His tapestry or whatever he makes. Va'kodesh Baruch Hu eino ken, but God is not that way. Tsar Tsura b'toch Tsura. We've been talking about it. He creates, God, the artist, Kaviyochel, creates a Tsura within a Tsura. He writes a physical body and a spiritual body. That's what we were busy talking about at the beginning of this year, right? You know, b'toch Tsura, u'matil bo ruach u'neshama, and he puts a neshama inside. Right? Ein kadosh kashem ki ein biltecha. There's no holiness like God. Ve'ein tsur kelokeinu. There's no tsur like our God. My ein tsur kelokeinu. The rabbis ask, what does it mean, ein tsur? Rock? No. Ein tsayar kelokeinu. There's no artist like God. God is the greatest artist. Now, I think in relating to contemporary times, our schus of living in Eretz Yisrael, and seeing the Hakamata Medina, right, that we are experiencing 70 years already, I think this idea of calling him an artist is very, very appropriate. The Rav Simcha Zisel Brody, who was the Chevron of Rosh Hashiva, said a beautiful interpretation of why we call him an artist. You know, when you start, imagine these people were signing the Declaration of Independence. We were surrounded by enemies. We're in the middle of a war. It was 3 years after the Holocaust. They didn't know what was going to be with this declaration. What's going to be 70 years later? They didn't know if there's going to be a tomorrow, right? That's the way it is with an artist. You see an artist, you ever go to a country fair or the exhibition, and you hire, if somebody's drawing pictures, you know, for a few bucks, you can have your picture drawn, and you're watching the person, the people are watching, and yeah, then a line here, a stroke here, all of a sudden, after a while, it takes shape, right? That's what an artist does. At the beginning, you cannot see the genius of the artist, right? The Rabbeinu Shlomo is tsayar. The beginning, you don't see, but we're zoche, 70 years later, to see the picture that he began to paint for us, this new picture in Eretz Yisrael, that he began to paint for us. That's the tsayar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 70 years later, we have a better understanding of that picture. It's taking shape now, right? Now, there's a lot more that has to be put into the picture. So we have to add our own color to the picture, right? And there's much more to add. So I just wanted to say that, but I want to add one other thing. The Rabbi Yehuda Leib Fishman, who was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, he had a trick up his sleeve. Even though they decided on Tzur Yisrael, if you look at the signatories, and I actually have a picture of some of the signatories, you'll see how he signed his name. He signed his name Be'ezras Hashem, Yehuda Leib HaKohen Fishman. He put Hashem's name in. He signed Be'ezras Hashem, Yehuda Leib Fishman. Now, what is just another, you know, what I call an Eretz Yisrael story that happened to me is on Pesach, the last day of Yontav, on Shabbos, Parsha Shemini, I told this story over in davening at the hotel. And after davening, somebody came over to me, and I know him, but I never knew this. He said, Yehuda Leib Fishman was my grandfather. And his grandfather. And I have his tefillin, right? So it was very meaningful for everybody there. But that's my contribution for next week. We're not going to be here for Yom HaTzmaut. And that's the story. Okay, have a wonderful week. Are you here next week? Are you still here? Okay.